I think my friend Ken is on. Ken, good morning. Ken Rasmussen?
Ken Rasmussen, yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. I only know you by your pseudonym from a couple other shows, but I'll have to learn Ken this morning. So,
yeah. I tend to hide behind stage names whenever I'm on broadcast radio or internet radio or anything. So
well, you have to do that, and if you're playing in the big league, sometimes you got to do that. So you were telling me of your invention, and I'm just kind of curious. What's your background? I know some of it, but please give us your bio and a little bit of what your background is, because I know you have some pretty high-tech background, and then jump into this really slick motor that could revolutionize the way we do things.
Yeah, so trying to segue here from what you've been talking about, there's a phrase I've heard a venture capitalist using recently that is really pretty offensive when you first hear it until you think about it. He says, ideas are worthless. Implementation is everything.
Yeah.
Give that some thought, though. And his argument is, he says, even people in a coma may have ideas, but they don't have the ability to implement anything. And implementation is everything. Now, applying that to life, unfortunately, that is the key factor in life that we all have to face in our day-to-day activities. And unfortunately, this is where the banksters jump in, and they know it's crucial to human life. And that's that most things get done by somebody getting a paycheck. You don't have law enforcement, you don't have bureaucrats, you don't have factory workers, you don't have fast food workers or anybody without giving them a paycheck to show up every day. So the bottom line is nothing's free. It takes effort to get things done. So let me go into my background on the volunteer aspect. Shucks, I managed a volunteer sound crew at a church for many years, and I was in Los Angeles at the time. So we had a blessing that our sound and lighting crew had professional guys right out of Hollywood. And they had the skills that they were using during the week, getting their normal paychecks, but they were more than glad to donate their skills for praising the Lord on weekends. That was a unique blessing. But as I moved on in life and got interested in energy, the factors of life have kicked in, and I'm finding, you jump around YouTube and you'll see there's a lot of garage inventors out there with some really nifty ideas, and they may have thrown together some things from Home Depot and gotten it to work. But the question is it really something that I can buy off the shelf and use myself? My personal professional background is, I did professional photography for a number of years. Then I got into aerospace back in the late 70s. Worked at Lockheed for about 11 years in research and development. Half of those years were in metals machine shop and dealing with titaniums and Inconels and all the bizarre aerospace metals. And then I moved on into advanced composites and worked another 5 or 6 years with that. And advanced composites, if you're not familiar with the term.
That's another interesting field right by itself.
It is. The original goal, and we've had advanced composites ever since the lunar space program. The Apollo capsules were made out of at the early stages of advanced composites. So that's been around ever since the 60s. But getting it fine-tuned and better chemical formulations, better fiber to use in the composites has been a challenge. But the goal was to make plastic that was as strong as steel. They wanted something as cheap and moldable as plastic and yet as strong as steel. As it's evolved up to where we're at today, we've got something as strong as steel. It is moldable. but unfortunately, it's as expensive as diamonds. Composites are still not cheap. They are getting cheaper as time goes along. Shucks, you can walk into a hardware store and pick up a hammer or another store and pick up a set of golf clubs that are advanced composites, but those are rather simply done. They're not the the key structural components on the F-22.
What's the difference? What's the difference between the very high tech ones and the ones that you would find as part of your golf clubs?
Formulation and shape primarily, because the goal of advanced composites is to have an abundance of fiber where you have your highest stress point. And then you don't need many fibers where you've got low stress, such as the skin of an airplane. It's just got wind flying by it, and it's really not bearing much of a load. However, the structural components inside the aircraft have got the weight of a big titanium engine hanging on it. And in a tight maneuver, that engine wants to go straight, whereas the aircraft wants to turn. And so now you've got really high stress supporting that engine. And you've got to design the shape and add in extra fiber at your stress points. And getting the fibers to bend and mold into the right spot, that's the real challenge in aerospace.
Oh, that certainly beats having the engine fall off at 400 miles an hour.
Yeah. Now, I'm not a warmonger myself. However, I do believe every nation on the planet deserves to have its own defense department to literally defend itself against invaders. So I do believe in a strong defense. I am totally anti-war, and I hate the military aggression from the morons who have managed to get into Washington because of they keep winning a popularity contest. And that's what it all boils down to.
That's what it's all about.
The White House is no different than the cheerleaders we elected on the football squad back in high school. No difference whatsoever. It is totally popularity, period.
Well, the cheerleaders at least are pleasant to look at.
Yeah.
I'm not happy
with that. Yeah. Yeah, popularity is unfortunately way too easy to manipulate.
Absolutely. Lipstick.
Yeah.
You can put lipstick on an acorn, you know that?
Yeah, and people have.
Okay.
But then after aerospace, I got into the financial community and became a stockbroker for 6 years, and that was a new experience.
Well, you've played in all the evil positions.
Yeah, well, after 6 years, I realized something is terribly wrong with this field here, because I got in and all my training to get my Series 7 and Series 63 licenses. The Series 7 says you may now call yourself a stockbroker. The Series 63 says you may now activate that license in any one of all 50 states. But the training I got for that was all compliance. You have to follow the letter of the law and suitability. You only sell certain types of investments to certain types of people, and you never sell high risk stocks, penny stocks, to little old ladies. Little old ladies who are nearing retirement or in retirement, you only put them in government-backed securities, and it's got to be something that's stable and consistent. Okay, so I've got all this compliance in my head, and then I go out and get active, and I look and see what's happening out in the real world. And we're never supposed to trade on inside knowledge, but shucks, you look at the big guys, the Warren Buffetts, the Bill Gates, and all the other big names on Wall Street. Every trade they do is inside knowledge.
Of course. Every trade.
Not a dollar of their money moves without some inside knowledge. Don't go giving me any baloney that inside trading is illegal. Yeah, it's illegal for the little guy. That was another fact of life I learned. We've all heard the term rich stockbroker. Yeah, that's somebody who show I listen to Abel Danger, Field McConnell keeps using the term parachuted into position. Yeah, that's what you have a lot of in Wall Street, is people who got parachuted into their position of power only because of some college buddy at the Ivy League school they went to. They don't know squat about the stability of securities and what's behind the company. When you analyze the stock, is it worth investing? You want to look at the historical growth of the company. Do they have solid management? And on down the line. There's things you need to assess when you're looking at something, if it's worth investing in and helping it to grow. So, as I beat around the bush here for the last 10 minutes, let me get down on energy. About 10, 12 years ago, as Internet Talk Radio was coming into being, I encountered a couple of vendors back then and started listening close to what they had to offer. And depending on your audience's background, this may either ruffle the fur on the back of their head or it could be names they've never heard of. But two guys I was listening to back in the late 90s when Internet Talk was just starting to happen was Paul Pantone and Dennis Lee. Each of those guys have made a lot of enemies over the time. I've met both of them. In reality, each one of them had something of value. Unfortunately, the financial community backstabbed both of them, didn't provide enough capital at the right time to get each of their good ideas developed properly. So now we get back to that phrase, ideas are worthless, implementation is everything. And if capital doesn't flow to the right spot at the right time, nothing happens. Or it just becomes an idea that somebody had or a legend, and it may have existed, it may not have, it could have been embellished by internet rumors or whatever. So evolving from past inventors and their attempts at getting something marketed, followed by massive failures and government intervention, and I don't want to get into the horror stories that those two guys had to go through. Some things I supported them on, some things I didn't. And I don't want to waste your show's airtime going into that. What I'm here today to talk about is what has my company come up with.
Well, I can just give you just a quick update that we have had some of the high mileage device people on at different times. We've done some pretty extensive shows on the whole high mileage issue and how to get better mileage and how to create more efficiency in engines and motors and whatnot. But yours is a unique invention or whatever you want to call it, and that's what we really want to get into.
Yeah. Another high-mileage fella contacted me last week. He's got his system perfected. He's doubling the mileage of any vehicle he puts it on. So those technologies do exist. Unfortunately, a lot of them are complex, and they do require sophisticated installation. And not everybody who has a wrench in their hand is suitable to work under the hood of your car. Good grief. I took back when I had a Ford that was running, I took it into a Ford dealer for a tune-up, and I noticed driving home, the ride was really rough. And I checked the air pressure in my tires that was supposed to be 33 pounds, and it was something like 55. The guy didn't even use a calibrated tire gauge to air up my tires. And I think he was working on my engine.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah, so installation on liquid fuel vehicles, which is what gasoline or diesel or both, that takes mechanical skills to do that stuff. That's why my personal favorite is electric cars. So let's focus in on that. Electric motors. I addressed a group of investors in Vegas a few weeks ago, and while the questions they asked me while I was live, while I was there, seemed courteous and professional, when I saw their comments about me afterwards, I realized I was lecturing an audience full of tree stumps. These guys don't have a clue what happens when you turn the key on your car.
Most people don't today. We don't fix our own cars. Most people don't today. Before you go any further, let's give the folks some websites that they can be going to. Commutefaster.com?
Yeah, that's my hobby site. And if you go to commutefaster.com, two M's in commute, no spaces there, all one word, commutefaster.com. And then in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a purple button that says energy. And that'll take you to my energy news site. And that has what I'm talking about today and a bunch of interesting stories. And the format of, if you look at this at my site, and right at the top, I have a bunch of other great energy sites to link to. Spend your life following those links. But you just scroll down, or again, at the top right of my energy page, it says Energy News. You just click on that, and that'll take you right down to my headlines. The headline page is stolen from Matt Drudge in format. And I basically have all the bad news on the left and all the good news on the right. In other words, okay. New products that you can actually get are over on the far right, and stuff in the middle is like, what is government doing? Is it good or bad? And the in-between stuff there. So that's the format of that page. So commutefaster.com, and click on the energy button, gets you the news site. Now, go ahead.
Well, the video that we looked at is at electricjumpstart.com, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I need to focus in on before I eat up the rest of the show here. Electricjumpstart.com, all one word. That takes you to the project that my own company is doing. Over the years, I met several really brilliant engineers. And when it comes to implementation, garage experimenters don't need PhDs. They just need to understand English enough to read labels. And you can discover some fascinating stuff in your own garage. That's possible. But the question of implementation comes into being, and that's where you really need engineers. Engineers who can then decipher that, okay, yeah, the laws of physics say something has to happen this way, but you can nudge the laws of physics and get something amazing to happen if you manipulate it this way or that. And that's where it does take a well-trained engineer to discern the difference between fantasy and reality. Now, over the years, I have met some really brilliant engineers. Just three of them on my team. One fella graduated from UCLA and went right to work for Hughes Electronics, designing satellite circuitries. And I think he actually has some components sitting on the moon today. Later in years, he went to work on designing the circuits for the 911 system in Los Angeles. We all take picking up your phone and dialing 911 for granted now. But if you go back to the 70s, you remember everybody had to have several phone numbers sitting right next to the main telephone in the house. You had to have a phone number for an ambulance service, a phone number for the fire department, and another phone number for the police department. And those, you had to have those written and sitting right next to your phone to be able to reach anybody, and those were a lot of numbers to dial. In the city of Los Angeles, you got like 15 million people there. Stop and think, what is going on in the background when you pick up a telephone anywhere, dial 911, and expect the right agency to show up at the door? If you need a police officer, but it only takes 911. Do you need an ambulance? It only takes 911. Well, there's a lot of sophisticated circuitry that's going on in the background for that to happen. Well, one of the engineers I have on my team oversaw the 911 switching center in the first startup days for the city of Los Angeles. That was a complex system. So I've got engineers of that quality. My mechanical engineer used to work on the space shuttle main engine. Now, granted, the space shuttle had two disasters. None of them traced back to any problem with the main engine. The main engine was ran on liquid hydrogen. The turbo pumps that he worked directly with, he says, could drain your backyard swimming pool, which is about 12,000 gallons of water. Said it could drain your backyard swimming pool in 1 minute.
Wow.
It pumps so much hydrogen so fast. And the thing that amazed me on the space shuttle or the Saturn V, both of them were liquid hydrogen-fueled engines, is you had liquid hydrogen, which is like 300 or 400 degrees below zero, being pumped literally inches away from the combustion chamber that was burning at about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So you had sub-zero temperatures inches away from 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That was amazing technology to pull that off. And my engineer worked on that, mechanical engineer. And then another fellow, the last one I'll mention here before I get into the device, he's one of his electronic circuits is flying on the Hubble telescope today. So I've compiled some really good talent here, and guys who know how to read voltmeters, who know how to read ammeters, and they don't make mistakes. So implementation is everything. We had a horror story out here in California just a couple of years ago. An inventor was working with a controversial topic called the Brown's gas, which technically is hydrogen and oxygen in a stoichiometric mix. He thought it was possible to compress it. He paid for that mistake with his life. Brown's gas technically can be compressed to a certain point, but it is extremely easy to contaminate. And once it becomes contaminated, you've got a Saturn V rocket on your hand. And poor guy, something went wrong one day, and it exploded and killed him. And the amazing thing is his coworker tried the same experiment again only a year later to have it blow up on. And he lived to tell about it, but he lost both an arm and a leg after the explosion. Why does this happen? It's because research and development to try to get something implemented is expensive, and you better have qualified people working with you. Otherwise, somebody who doesn't know all the physical things they need to know is going to make a fatal mistake. And sadly, that fatal mistake really is fatal at times.
Wow.
Here's what's happened on our motor. Our electronic engineer has discovered a certain design coil that I like to refer to is wound like a tapestry. This is brilliant. This is clever. And here's what happens. Getting back to that group of tree stumps I lectured in Las Vegas who didn't understand electric motors. Okay, we all know that our cars run on gasoline, right? We just got to pump gasoline in the back and it runs. Yeah, well, what happens when you turn the key on your motor? A gasoline engine won't even start without an electric motor. That's what your starter is. And why do electric motors work? That's the key question. It's because of an interaction between a magnet and a coil. That is why electric motors work. We have discovered a component, a coil and certain shaped magnet, which in conjunction with each other yields a violent response from very little electricity. So that's the key point. So why is our system valuable? It's because we have the components that make any electric motor work. And even though ours will require certain geometrics and modifications to assembly lines, the fact is we're getting electromotive force, namely foot-pounds of torque. And the number I'm quoting both on our website and on the air now is we have yielded 41 foot-pounds of torque from 6 watts of power. Show me any electric motor that will do that.
If you're not familiar with that sort of thing, folks, that's the amount of energy being generated in a rotation. So it's twisting. The motor is energized and twists and produces 42 foot-pounds of torque with the input of only 6 watts, which isn't enough to energize even the compact fluorescent light.
Yeah, that's it. The starter on your car, look at the size of the cable between your battery and the starter, which is that little electric motor hanging on the bottom of your gasoline engine. Look at the thickness of that cable. Consider how much amperage it has to suck just to turn your engine over. Electric motors are terribly inefficient, and yet you look at the Tesla Model S car, and it's running a cost per mile about 18% of what any gasoline engine is doing. So electric motors, as bad as they are still better than gasoline engines or diesel. And yet, what we've got is something that will drastically improve the electric motor.
Well, let's do a quick comparison between your motor prototype and the Tesla automobile. If they had your motor prototype on their electric car, and they're running, what you said, 18% of the energy use.
Yeah,
what would they be if they were using your motor?
The easiest number I reference right now is the Tesla S is quoting a 300-mile range on the charge from their battery. If they were running our motor design or our components in a motor, it would at least double, if not triple. So we're looking at taking a 300-mile range car, kicking it up to 600 to 1,000-mile range on a charge. The efficiency of this magnet coil is so astounding. That's the result you could have on an electric motor. Now let's take this design to something different.
We got about a minute and a half, bud.
Okay.
Wind it right up.
Air conditioning could be cut. Your air conditioning bill could be cut in half. Electric fans, anything you need to run, have an electric motor to run. So the point is, electricjumpstart.com explains our project. It then gives you the link over to our company. The new thing with crowdfunding is it's now possible to donate a few bucks, $20 to a good cause, and you don't have to be the 501c3 that's tax issue and whatever. Yeah, we're a profit making corporation. We have to pay income tax on whatever donate. But the thing is, it gets this thing further advanced. And we've just got to get some capital here so that we can get paychecks and get people working on this full time.
How do people get to that site?
Electricjumpstart.com.
Okay, that's the website. That's that promotion site. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
That'll get people there, and that shows video clips of what we have, and it's the component that will make ultimate electric motors work a lot better.
And there's no special space technology materials in this motor. It's just the way it's constructed.
It works in conjunction with a neodymium magnet, which is the most powerful magnet that's made. But it's the way the coil interacts with that magnet is what gives it the magic sauce there.
Well, that would be awesome to increase to double or triple the efficiency of an electric car. Now you're talking about actually being a green car and being usable at the same time.
Yeah.
How nice.
You'll notice if you read my energy page, I'm very anti phony greens. Sierra Club, Greenpeace, all their outboards.
We call them watermelons. Green on the outside, red on the inside. Pete, I got to go because I got the Northern Maine Landman coming right up behind me.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good talking to you.
Thank you for being on. Appreciate it. We're going to follow and see what you do here, buddy. Take care.
Okay. All right. Bye for now.
Bye.